Hanasuke, the detective, carried himself with the grand air of being Japan's greatest master of the juta. The proof, he claimed, lay in a list of his proudest exploits, which unfolded as follows. This tale begins in Edo, when he was still a common constable. A certain spearmaster, a giant of a man, from a town dojo, once went mad. He began to rage, indiscriminately stabbing passers-by in the streets.
Even skilled young samurai,
relying on their numbers, were instantly struck down. Constables and watchmen dared not approach the scene. It was then that Hanasuke casually let his juta slide towards his hip. He untied his tightly bound headband and draped it over his shoulder. With a friendly, "Pardon me, just passing through," he smiled and approached. His nonchalant demeanor utterly confused the rampaging giant. "Is there a bathhouse behind me?" the giant wondered, losing focus for a split second. This moment of relaxation, fine as a silken thread between surges of murderous intent, was his target. He slipped in, light as air, exploiting that fragile pause. By the time the giant noticed, Hanasuke was already smiling. He was well within the spear's reach, inside the deadly circle of its swing. This was the true artistry, the very essence of martial skill. His gait appeared cheerful, almost sloppy, yet beneath it lay profound mastery. A deep training in mind, strategy, and martial arts, cultivated in silence. Once he was inside the spear's effective range, it was all over. Without a visible draw, he knocked the spear away with his jute. Then, grasping one of the giant's hands, he brought the jute to bear. Feigning a counter move, he let the giant pull his own hand, trapped by the juta. And just like that, the giant cried, "Atetetete," unable to move. "See? The ultimate secret I've woven over 10 years, he'd explain. "It's beyond any spear or sword. The jute itself is an art from Tang China, brought by Master Chen. But mine adds the profound insights of Shingaku to the gentle art of Jujutsu. I've put my soul into it. You need a natural gift for it, you know. That innate quickness to respond instantly is crucial." Ha ha ha! That was his firm belief. One day, three masterless samurai, skilled in martial arts, robbed a large shop in Nihonbashi. One quick-witted apprentice quietly slipped away and ran to the guardhouse. "Only Hanasuke can handle this," they declared. He was roused in the dead of night, his jute casually sliding to his hip, and he departed. Three towering ronin stood by the master's bedside, swords at his throat. They forced him to hand over the 1,000 ryo chest. "Good evening," Hanasuke said, entering the room. "A 1,000 ryo chest is quite heavy, isn't it?" he mused. Taking the juta from his hip, he tapped the three ronin's arms, backs, and chests. With each gentle choi, 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 the three formidable men went numb. It was as if they'd been struck by a powerful narcotic moxibustion. To an amateur's eye, the human body seems fragile, yet it is robust. A sword cut draws blood, but a fist only leaves a bump, nothing more. Yet every human body possesses 565 vital points, the Benkei's weeping spots. They are points of extreme vulnerability. When a master lightly touches just one of these spots, even the toughest warrior, they become numb, as if under a powerful narcotic spell. Most incredible was the time during Ueno's cherry blossom viewing. "Truly magnificent," Hanasuke murmured, walking beneath the sakura. Suddenly, the flower viewers ahead of him scattered, fleeing in panic. Rushing to see what was amiss, he found 11 evil samurai. They were harassing an old samurai accompanied by two beautiful daughters. A duel had erupted. The leader of the rogue samurai seemed quite skilled. He kept one hand tucked in his robe, parrying the old man with the other. The old man, pale and breathless, retreated steadily. Beads of cold sweat trickled down his face. The other 10 watched, laughing, as the old man was slowly tormented to death. "Ah, hello there. Sorry to keep you waiting," Hanasuke chirped. He stepped between the clashing swords, and the rogue's leader glared. "Who in the world are you?" he demanded. "That I am, yes," Hanasuke replied. "And who might you be?" the leader pressed. "Just a tofu vendor here to see if you need anything," he smiled. "You insolent wretch!" the leader roared. The rogue leader was furious. Wanting to claim, he drew his sword unseen, but it was already in his hand. Hanasuke stood where striking or thrusting was awkward for the leader. So with a frustrated roar, he raised his blade high. He aimed to cut Hanasuke down with a single sweeping blow. In an instant, the leader flipped backward. With his sword still raised, he crashed to the ground, groaning and sprawling. Hanasuke's foot had lightly grazed a vital spot. The remaining 10 rogues drew their swords, advancing on the insolent servant. Being surrounded by 10 men was a grave matter. "Farewell," he chirped and fled. His speed was legendary, far surpassing even Hayakube of Ume Village. There were no Olympics then, but it said no one to this day could beat his records, not in a 100-meter dash, nor a marathon. He was a true Idaten, a divine runner. However, to ensure his opponents could still follow, he played a game of tag, keeping just 5 or 6 inches from their sword tips. A true master's body learns to sense the steel. Without a glance back, the enemy's blade finds its place in your mind. Through art and endless refinement, their very being becomes a silent radar. Unaware, the enemy presses on, dreaming of the final strike. They chase with fervent breath. To keep the others from fading, bored and weary, the master shifts a blur across the ground, placing their back just inches from another's waiting blade. So close, just one more desperate reach. They chase, lost to themselves, till breath is gone and shadows blur their sight. In 10 brief minutes, 10 figures crumbled, spent, scattered one by one, like seeds from the sky strewn in every direction. No. The deepest secret isn't just the thrust or the cut. Through honed skill and endless practice, a silent knowing fills the entire frame. The common man only understands by touch, but those with a gifted spirit, from birth, feel the world's approach, a breath from 3 to 6 feet near. Through training, this sense can stretch to 18 feet, but my own, it is a different kind of grace. 7, 10, even 15 ken, I feel their presence. Yet, it's not the distant object itself that I feel. The swiftness of my dodge, matching the blur of what approaches, this is the true art, sensing an enemy 15 ken away. At this level, even in the dark, an arrow's whisper, a bullet's sigh, I simply sway and let them pass me by. Yet to feel the gleam's close whisper, 5 sun, 1 sun, 5 bu, or 7. That again is a profoundly difficult art. "Ha ha ha," he says, a quiet boast. That man, full of air, speaks in elegant, old-world phrases. "What's this, old man? Is it all just tales from Edo's past? I wish to hear of skill, truly seen, since you arrived in this town. There are none, are there? Ha ha ha, in this quiet land. Not one clever thief. Returning to my birth home, perhaps, was a twist of fate. In Edo, they spoke of Detective Nasuke, and girls flocked like to a star." He strokes his chin, a knowing smile. The townsfolk, in the castle's shadow, longed to humble that arrogant Nasuke, to break his pride. 3 ri from the castle walls lived Yuri Danemon, a man of quiet fortune. His wealth in gold, no one could truly fathom. They said if his coins were laid end to end, they'd cross the sea to Sado and circle the island 7 times over. When the lords of old faced times of want, they would seek funds from the Danemon line. They never repaid, it's true, but still, they called it a debt. Even chief retainers would sometimes, in secret, come to borrow. So they held no boastful air. Yet their prestige was vast and deep. Danemon's beloved Otoki, given a grand residence in the same village, inherited vast wealth, but only a daughter, reaching age, no son was born, and so she sought a son-in-law. Though her estate, a fraction of the main house's grandeur, it was a master's retreat, filled with refined taste. Famed trees on hills, a forest's tranquil springs, a beauty rivaling ancient grand estates, and 5 chests of gold, 1,000 rio each, were hers. Yet it was a concubine's abode. To adopt from high rank, that path was closed. But Otoki, the concubine, possessed a sharp mind. She knew a concubine's worth lasted only while her master breathed. Should the master pass, her child would find no ease in the village. No one would hold them dear, even with wealth that whispers envy now. If one merely sits and consumes, even a mountain of gold will fade. Otoki, holding these thoughts close, a son-in-law of humble standing, for her daughter was enough. She wished for a sincere, clever, hard-working man as a son, to open a shop in the castle town, that he might stand tall, securing their lineage's prosperity. But Okun, her daughter, was 16 years old. A beauty so vast, one might wonder if even moon goddesses or sea princesses' maids could hold such grace. Likely not. A whisper spread. Honest, clever, hard-working, even an outcast's man from Yabugami could be her son-in-law. From near to far, young hearts burned with restless longing. Young men for 10 ri around vied to show their honest work, a quiet revolution where no idler could be found. Then the rogue detective Nasuke, walking the 3 ri path at a mere 3 cho's pace, was seen day after day entering Danemon's mistress's quiet home. This stirred a quiet fury from young hearts to old. Though a bachelor, Nasuke, now 30, was a boastful wanderer, a restless spirit full of idle boasts. Just a widower, alone, he was no candidate for the ranks of eager young suitors. Everyone raged, "That rogue, he knows not his place." But looking closer, something felt quietly amiss. Hanasuke, that one, left for Edo at 11 or 12 to serve. By 30, he was back in his hometown, a wanderer with no wife by his side. But Dankuro doesn't question the past of his subordinates, it's said. So his history isn't a reason to deem him unsuitable. He's not seen as a man of great promise, it's true. Yet oddly enough, he is diligent and quick-witted, and skilled with his hands, a master of intricate crafts, a sly one. He completes in one day what others need 10 for.